RNZ Pacific News. Halo, Loketa. I'm Seomanu Tevamta Fai. Police in Solomon Islands have maintained a heightened security presence in the capital overnight amid reports of potential protests being staged against the result of the election of the Prime Minister. Jeremiah Manele defeated rival candidate Matthew Wale by 31 votes to 18, with one MP absent from Parliament for the election. Deputy Police Commissioner Ian Vaivaso, who was in charge of security operations in Honiara for the vote, says things were calm and peaceful after the Governor-General announced the result, but they had been monitoring the situation.
People say that they will protest, cause disorders in Honiara. In our assessment, the threat, we still treat it as it still stands. Through the support of the public, we were able to make this, you know, election a successful one.
Samoa's Ministry of Health has announced 61 new cases of dengue-like illness in its latest figures. The figures are for the week of April 22nd to 28th. In its surveillance report, the ministry says the dengue-like illness count remains high. It urges the public to heed advice and recommendations on preventative measures, including cleaning up stagnant water sources. Pacific people who want to move to Australia now have details on how the Australian engagement visa will work. There are 3,000 places available, with most Pacific countries given a quota that people can enter a ballot for. The ballot opens on June 3rd. The head of the Australian National University Development Policy Centre, Stephen House, says Papua New Guinea has emerged as a big winner.
Almost half of the visas go to PNG, so you'd have to say PNG is a winner. Although, if it was strictly done on a basis of population, of course many more would go to PNG because it is such a big country relative to the rest of the Pacific. But still, with almost half the visas, you'd have to say that PNG was a winner.
Fiji also appears to be a winner, while Samoa, Vanuatu and the Marshall Islands have not been allocated any spaces yet, with their governments yet to agree to the process. But Australia has kept 300 spaces available. Mendi residents in Papua New Guinea's Southern Highlands are celebrating following the opening of Mendi Airport. It has been shut for 6 years. As the national newspaper reports, election-related violence in 2018 forced its closure. An Air New Guinea Dash 8 aircraft was torched along with the courthouse, the governor's home and businesses. One local says it has been emotional seeing PNG air landing, as people have been driving more than 2.5 hours to Mount Hagen to catch flights. A Pacific historian says Pacifica voices must be part of the debate on whether or not New Zealand joins AUKUS, the Indo-Pacific Security Pact. New Zealand is considering joining Pillar 2 of the agreement, a non-nuclear option, but critics say they could be seen as Aotearoa rubber stamping Australia acquiring nuclear-powered submarines. A UT Law School lecturer, Marco De Jong, says Pacific perspectives must be prioritised in AUKUS discussions.
I don't think Winston Peters should mistake the quietness of Pacific leaders on AUKUS as necessarily supporting New Zealand's position. Most Pacific leaders will, instead of calling out New Zealand, re-emphasise their own commitment to the Blue Pacific ideals and the regional consensus on a nuclear-free Pacific.
A Fiji-based group is going to build what will become the world's biggest double-hulled canoe, or Ngā Wanga Indrua. Group spokesman Carson Young says that they are working with the Pacific community on constructing the 100-foot canoe.
Just to put things into perspective, no living person has ever seen one or built one. A real-size Tambete-Bete class Wanga Indrua. Not in the last 150, 180 years. Our research have involved looking at all the canoes that have been documented.
The project is being funded through an African Caribbean Pacific European Union Cultural and Creative Industries Grant, which aims to support the national and regional development priorities in the areas of culture and creative industries. A new study shows more than a third of adult New Zealanders are not getting the healthcare they need. The report by the Senior Doctors Union, the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, also reveals hundreds of thousands of people are missing out on mental health care. Here's our health correspondent, Rowan Quinn.
The report says the lack of care is putting pressure on emergency departments, with a 30% jump in the number of patients turning up with life-threatening conditions. It's drawing on official data, including patient surveys, non-surgical wait lists, and the number of people referred to a specialist but declined care. It says those people are left in limbo with their GPs, adding to the pressure on primary care. The report also finds 1,750,000 people are not getting the dental care they need. It wants an urgent investigation.
In world news, a senior UN official says the cost of reconstructing war-ravaged Gaza could be as high as $40 billion. The Assistant Secretary General Abdallah Al-Dadari told a news conference the destruction in the territory is unprecedented. Around 50 people have died after a section of a mountainside highway collapsed in China's Guangdong province following days of heavy rain. The BBC's Laura Bicker has more.
Witnesses told state media that they heard a loud noise as a wide hole opened up on the highway. More than 20 cars fell down the muddy bank and some burst into flames. The search for survivors has been complicated by rain and more gravel and soil coming down at the site, posing a risk to workers, according to an official who spoke to Chinese media. Search and rescue dogs and life-detecting devices were deployed on the steep slope in this mountainous area of southern China. This has been the wettest April on record in Guangdong province, and the county where the road collapsed has seen more than four times as much rain as last year.
In sport, the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame is partnering with the Pasifika Rugby Hall of Fame to find young talent for American football. Former NFL star Manasseh Jesse Sapodil says the hope is to find the next Lafonga Jordan Meilata, a former NRL player. Meilata was recruited in Australia, where he was playing for the South Sydney Under-20s team in 2018.
The Polynesian Football Hall of Fame is now teaming up with Pasifika Rugby Hall of Fame that are going to give us the kids. Just for an example, 6 years ago, Jordan Meilata, who came over from Australia, you know, didn't even know what American football was. And this past month, he just signed a $100 million contract.
Less than a month after deciding to take a break from rugby to fight cancer, Blues forward Cameron Swafoa is set to return to the field. Swafoa has completed radiation therapy on a lump on his back. He says he feels 100% after being named on the bench for tonight's game against the Rebels in Melbourne.
Been tough on the lungs the last couple of weeks. Just a lot of rehab running out, so glad to be over and done with that so I can actually play some footy and for a footballer.
Meanwhile, a vote on what's been labelled a generational change to the governance structure of New Zealand rugby will take at the end of the month. The 26 provincial unions and the New Zealand Māori Rugby Board will vote on two proposals at a special general meeting on May 30th that could see the NZR board filled by independent directors. And the defending NRL champion Panthers made it 3 wins in a row last night. They won 42-12 over an injury-hit Rabbitohs side who sacked head coach Jason Demetrio earlier this week. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.